Hi, I'm John Dawson, and welcome to the Grip Weeds Inner Grooves podcast. This is part one of two installments focusing on this release of rare and under-released tracks from the Grip Weeds archives. Each member of the band was interviewed and all gave their thoughts on this very cool collection. Singer, drummer Kurt Ryle talks about how Inner Grooves came together.
What really drove this project was not a desire to make a record at all. We got the rights back to our back catalog from Rainbow Quartz Records. We had to come up with an idea to get the music back out there. So I'd done all this research into the Grip Weeds tape library and came up with all these cool things that hadn't been out or had only been out in very limited ways. And we basically thought we should put this out, and you know, the end of the year is a good time for this sort of thing. While we're making our new record, we'll put this out, and by the time people are sick of this one, we'll have a new one.
Singer, guitarist, Rick Ryle.
I think the version of Rainy Day that's on Inner Grooves is the best version, by far.
That one was a little bit more involved. That one took some doing, because it was not in a finished form when I pulled it up on the tape machine. We had put the track out as Rainy Day number one, and it appeared on a compilation around the millennium time, 2000-ish. And we just weren't happy with it, almost from the get-go.
Lead guitarist, Kristen Pennell.
Well, it's kind of funny. My recollection of Rainy Day was that Kurt did not like the version that we had come up with, and he wanted us to re-record the whole thing, and I was like, oh my god, it's like we put so much work into it, and he just said it's not right. And I don't think he even really knew what he wanted out of it. He just knew that he didn't like it.
And so first thing we did, we were making Summer of a Thousand Years at the time, our third album. We were making that record, and this song kind of preceded that album. And we said, you know, let's fix this song. Let's go back in and, you know, I had written it and it just didn't come out the way I had hoped it would. And so we started going back into the song to make it better. And then we played a show, a very important show at the time. We were backing the Bo Brummels, which is a legendary band from the 60s. They had a couple hits in the early 60s, Laugh Laugh was one, and Just a Little, like their big claim to fame songs. And we had backed them up on vocals and guitars, along with members of the Smithereens. And we finished that show. Kristen's playing this cool harmonica part to, I think it's just Laugh Laugh. And it was like, oh, this is great. We should do Rainy Day with that arrangement. So We bagged this Rainy Day number one with overdubs and stuff and fixes that we were doing, and we moved on to Rainy Day number, what became number three, and we cut it in this more laid-back folk rock way with harmonica and stuff, and that's the version that wound up on Summer of a Thousand Years. So my surprise was going back to this first version and finding that it was actually a little bit more of what I intended the song to be as a writer. And so all we had to do was kind of really finish up the direction that it was taking.
As far as getting Dave on the track, on Rainy Day, that was actually my idea. I pushed for that.
Bassist Dave DeSantis.
So I get the call from Kurt. He wanted to redo Rainy Day 1 and 2. And it just hit me as why. It's done. You know, it's an alternate track. But he said we all kind of overplayed the song. We want to do a nice, clean version of it. So I was like, all right. So I come to the studio. Not too familiar with the song. I tried to cut down half of the bass part, and I didn't have the feel to it. He guided me along the way. And, yeah, the more I hear it on the radio now, yeah, I like what's on there.
But this version is much more the way it should be. And I don't know why we didn't see it then, but sometimes you, in the moment, you don't see things clearly. I was particularly happy that Nothing Lasts made it. That was one of, that was a song I wrote for the last record. And it's just that on the last record, Strange Change Machine, it was already a double album. You know, there was no way to fit it on there. So I was happy to see that one get on there. I thought it came out really well. And it was kind of a shame that it didn't come out earlier, but that's fine. It's out now. Happy about that.
It's really kind of cool, and I can say that because I didn't write it. But we were a little dubious about the lyrics, and it wasn't until doing this compilation and going back, listening to the song with fresh ears and a fresh perspective, and a few years later, and you know, a different relationship now with the new bass player, and we're looking for these, you know, outtake kind of songs. And this was like, wow, this thing is really good, and I totally misjudged it. The whole song is about almost impermanence, like just from the title alone, Nothing Lasts. And it's about this sort of, you know, you're here and then it's gone sort of vibe. And I never got that from the lyrics until lately, you know, until recently. And I realized, wow, I'm glad we didn't rewrite them because they're really cool in a very subtle way. Perfect for the Inner Grooves album.
There hasn't been a case where I thought I had this really great song that's like, oh, it could be a hit, and it got cut, sort of like when David Crosby's Triad was cut for the Birds, whatever. I you know, like Nothing Lasts didn't make it on Strange Change Machine, but I liked that track, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm good. You know, I had all these other tracks that were on there that of mine, and I'm like, well, you know, maybe this can come out somewhere else, or we can redo it in preparation for our next album. If there is a song that doesn't get on there that I really want to be on there, I'll be thinking, well, it'll be on Inner Grooves 2. There'll always be an outlet. That's how I'm looking at it.
Every Minute started out as, well, originally it was an electric rock song, and it's on our second album, The Sound Is In You, which is a lyric from that particular song, Every Minute. I was actually pushing for that to be the title of the song, The Sound Is In You, but Rick didn't want it. Rick wrote the song, So that was, that had been the way this song went as an electric song since 98 or around there, you know, late 90s when the second album came out. And it wasn't until late 2000s where little Steven Van Zandt from Sirius XM and Sopranos and all that stuff, and Lilyhammer. So he asked us, we were doing for Wicked Cool Records, they were putting out a best of the Gripweeds, and which we were so flattered by. We're like, wow, this is so cool, you know? And he goes, you know, can you give us some acoustic versions of your, you know, our favorite songs on the Underground Garage? Give me two of them. So we said, sure, you know, we could do that. And we went back and we recorded every minute. And I think we were listening to the first CSN album, Crosby, Stills, Nash. We were actually listening to that album a little bit. And I think, you know, talk about influences. I think that album, the texture, the sound of that record is slightly in our recording, our acoustic recording of Every Minute. Just in texture, nothing else. But so we were able to take this electric rock song and transform it into a folk song, you know, or just, you know, an acoustic song with some vocals. And so that was fun to do.
Bring into the memory when I go underground. Show me what is lost so that it may be found. Standing in the presence of a stall that I have been, I free my mind to see the timeless act with it. Every minute calling to awake to a sound. Behind the space where a moment is found. Show me every day my conception is new. Living every moment and the sound is in you.
With Every Minute, I still remember the first time I heard Rick and Kurt working on that song. I was in the other room and we had a studio downstairs in our first house. It was right off the living room, and I heard them playing that song, and I just was totally blown away. I loved it. I thought it was great, and it's always been, usually it's like one of our openers. It's our opener for our live set. It's always worked. But for Inner Grooves, we decided with Every Minute, I believe I pulled out a Leslie speaker and Leslie guitar sound. That's what I used on that track. So it has this kind of swirly psychedelic sound. That's how I get that. It's a Leslie speaker that we have in the studio. And I really like that song. I like the electric vibe of that song, but the acoustic is fun. You know, you get to hear the harmonies and, yeah.
Every Minute, well, it's so different, you know. I really like the acoustic version a lot. I wouldn't say I like it better than the electric version. I just think it's a great alter. It's almost like very different take on it.
When Kurt and I take these long drives, we have a place upstate, and we spend hours in the car, and we'll like be writing lists for this. We were writing lists of all our things we could put on this record. When we decided to do something like Inner Grooves, we were like, well, we have all these tracks, we'd make lists and decide, and that was like right at the top because we thought those came out so good.
Open the door and explode into light. Show me every day my conception is new. Living every moment and the sound is in you.
There are some songs on Inner Grooves that date back to the early 90s. There's one of them, actually, Over the Edge, which was a demo that I did. You know, as a writer, I would write a song and it's in your head and you got to get it down on tape or whatever the format is these days, and kind of just to make it real, you know, and you can hear it back and see what you have. Because when you're playing it, it's hard to get that perspective of, yeah, that's really good, or no, that's not good. So a demo helps in that process, and it's just more of a production of the song. Kind of, you know, I playing all the instruments on this particular track. Yeah, like I do on most of my demos, I played all the instruments, and it was a particularly cool night for me. It was one of my most memorable recording sessions, even to this day, because it was so joyous and so complete in and of itself. And I pulled an all-nighter. I got so into it, I just kept on going. I couldn't stop. That doesn't really happen to me very often. But with this song, I couldn't stop. I had to finish it. And by the time I was done, the sun was up. I was like, wow, that was so cool, you know? And oddly enough, it was in the batch of songs for the band to pick over for House of Vibes, and the band picked it over. They didn't want to go anywhere near it. I was like, all right, well, I'll just hang on to it. And you know, it came out on a compilation and this kind of crappy mix I had done at the time.
She Don't Care About Time, that goes back to the beginning of the band. And it's funny, even before I joined the Gripweeds, when I met Rick and Kurt, I was a huge Birds fan. And I think that they were kind of blown away. I don't think they really ever met a girl who even knew who the Birds were. And I loved that since I was a little kid. I loved the 12 strings and the harmonies of that, of all their stuff. And so I was really impressed. I think the first time I saw the Gripweeds live, they did a couple of Birds covers. I don't remember which ones, but I was really blown away by that. So that's, you know, we've just always kind of done a few Bird songs, and Rick plays great 12-string guitar, so that worked in there nice too. And as far as just that cover was perfect for us because Rick and Kurt's harmonies are just amazing on it.
Brothers fight, and Rick and Kurt Ryle of the Gripweeds are no exception. We have our moments, but you know, we're close like brothers, and but we do have our moments where, you know, it's a bit of oil and chalk and cheese, what is it, or oil and vinegar, oil and water, whatever it is, that, you know, where you don't mix. There's been an ongoing thing of Rick says slower, 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 and I say faster, faster, faster. So it's always been that little undercurrent in the Gripweeds. Is a slight, you know, Rick's always pulling it back and I'm always pushing it forward a little bit.
Well, we try to watch our tempos in these days because we're just trying to keep things in a groove and more steady, you know. We're always, like, fighting about tempos.
I actually really like our version of She Don't Care About Time. I like the remix that we did. The first version of it was on a Gene Clark tribute album in the late 90s. And we had done a mix at the time. And I remember we weren't that incredibly happy with the mix we did, but it was all we could do. And we kind of dismissed the song, thinking we had gotten a little bit too close to the Byrds version. Like we hadn't gone our own way enough at the time. So, you know, in picking these songs, I was like, well, we really got to include that, but I got to try to do a remix, you know, see if we can improve this. And lo and behold, I went back to the tracks and it was like, wow, this sounds magical. You know, I don't want to be, you know, hope I'm not being too modest here, but no, it sounds magical, really cool. And there's parts that we didn't use in the original mix that were on the recording. And I don't know why they weren't used. So it was like a kind of a, I think we got it something very good out of that recording, which we had all dismissed as being a little bit too derivative. So I'm very happy with it now.
I have emotional attachments to every song, and that's what comes back when I think about these songs. I try to remember specific details about the guitar I played or what happened during the session. It's like, I really remember the emotional feeling I had about the song at the time. That's what I remember. Was I happy? Was I mad? Were we fighting? was it really fun? That's kind of the things that I remember.
Well, you know, that's what, you know, talking about the brothers is the brothers that fight, you know, not only are the brothers that fight, but we're the brothers that sing together well. And it's just something we have. It's like, well, it's like the Everly Brothers, but I won't claim that we're that good, but we're doing our own thing. And it's a unique blend that we have, and it's instinctive and it's effortless for us to do it. And it is a sound that we make, you know, that I really love. So that song has it, and it was easy to do, you know, and that's why we're still working together, because otherwise we would have killed each other.
So whoever can argue the longest, whoever can wear the others down.
Well, you know, I mean, we're talking about brothers harmonies, but Kristen, you know, adds a lot to the vocal blend of the Gripweeds as well, because of the, you know, that female element in there changes it, adds another dimension. And that's on that track too.
We have to work really hard on our harmonies because, like I said, we are a loud band and we play very aggressively and there's a lot of energy. And then we have these three-part harmonies. It's very challenging. It's a lot to do.
Love's Lost on You is a great acoustic take on that. Very different from the record. I wouldn't say prefer it, but I like it as an alternative.
Yeah, we did two recordings at Little Steven's request, Love's Lost on You and Every Minute. He wanted stripped down acoustic versions of them, and I guess that was too simple for us, and we just went way over the top and just entirely different arrangements of them. And I don't know, we liked how they came out. We have all kinds of soaring vocals it was not a stripped down acoustic version, which is what I guess he wanted, but we liked what happened with them. And so nothing happened with them. They never came out. They sat around for years and were like, well, we think they're really good. So
I totally get what he was asking for. Sort of like, you know, the album Beach Boys Party. Extremely relaxed, extremely spontaneous. And to be honest with you, I think the Gripweeds could actually afford to do a little bit more of that style of thing. We tend not to because we're perfectionists, because Kurt and I are audio engineers, and we just can't bear to let something go out that's not been tinkered with. So, you know, we just had to tinker with it. Same with Every Minute, and that was also supposed to be just us sitting around a microphone, sitting around the campfire, doing the track as spontaneously as possible. But of course, we overdubbed stuff. Just couldn't help ourselves.
It's our most released track, and now it's on this in a totally new version. And the reason was, again, Steven Van Zandt wanted, you know, these tracks done acoustically. Now, we had success keeping Every Minute to a very acoustic sort of presentation. But this, Love's Lost on You, we actually got a little carried away. And we made another production in a whole other direction than the original proper version of the song, which again is like a rock, you know, band version, you know, two guitars, bass, drums with extra stuff. But it was meant, you know, it was written as a rocker. And then we came up with this whole, it's very textural version of the song. Almost, to me, it's like very, I almost saw the production as cinematic. You know, like you can almost see the sound. And, you know, there's electric sitar in there. There's all kinds of cool stuff, sonic textures in there.
I have an electric sitar which shows up on Inner Grooves. I actually have a real sitar, which, you know, maybe in another life I'll have time to actually learn how to play correctly. Now I use it as a decoration in the living room. And it's next to Kurt's tablas. So... Well, yeah, the version of, on Inner Grooves, the version of Love's Lost, it has a vocal breakdown in the middle that's different from the original track. It's pretty mind-blowing. Sounds really great. We didn't really have to work too hard on it. It just, that was something that came pretty natural, working up that vocal break in Love's Lost. But that song has a lot of harmonies live. And they're pretty good. They work pretty well. And that's a pretty powerful song to be singing over. We've been doing it for a long time, though, so I hope we've nailed it by now.
It'll Never Be Me was a cover tune. That was the B-side of our single, Rainy Day Number 3, in England. It came out there, only in the UK. And that was a cover of a song done by the Pretty Things under the pseudonym of... The Electric Banana. Just loved this song at the time. I heard it at a mod party. I went to Kristen and I went to this mod party when everybody decked out in, you know, in mod gear, and so were we. And so, you know, and the song comes on, and it's one of these things where it just blew my mind. I was like, I must have that song. What is that song? And so, you know, I found out what it was, got the record, and, you know, and then it was like, the Gripweeds must play this song, you know? And so, so we did, and we recorded it very quickly, and it wound up as this B-side. And as B-sides often are, they're usually the quick ones. They're kind of, well, you got the one that matters out of the way, now let's have some fun. And so, you know, it's kind of the one you dash off. So that's what this one is, but in so doing, it's really kind of neat in its own way. It's got almost this funky, groovy thing to it, with these three-part incredible four-part harmonies, actually, which are kind of neat. That's what I like about it.
It'll never be me. I laugh when I hear that song because that's got the goofiest guitar riffs I think I ever played in it. But they're really funny, but they're just so goofy. And it was all just improvised stuff that... I mean, if you listen, they're goofy. It's like, I don't know, Kurt makes fun of me every time he hears it. He's like, he sings these goofy lines. Like, how did you come up with that?
Yeah, that one, you know, this is one of these real inner grooves that's very inside of the groove.
No, it'll never be me looking at you.